But anyway, we know what the playoff format is going to be. We still don't know when it's going to happen, where it's going to happen, what the testing protocols are going to look like. And to try to get some of those answers, we're joined now by former Leaf himself, longtime NHLer, and currently the executive assistant to Donald Fehr with the NHLPA. Back on Overdrive, here's Matthew Schneider. How you doing, Matthew?
Not too bad. And you forgot former teammate of your two hosts there as well.
Oh, yeah, both of you guys. That's a rarity. There you go. Okay.
Schneider's held my hand. We sat beside each other in the gardens in the dressing room, and he was the wily vet, and I was the kid, and I was just like, yeah, just try to get open. He'll get you the puck.
There you go.
And unfortunately, I think I handed Matthew several minuses when I was in net for the Islanders. I especially remember a real rough night in L.A. where Gretzky put a clinic on, and I lasted all of 3 goals on 8 shots, unfortunately.
I think I got benched. I think Milbury benched me in that game. I remember that night.
Oh, it was rough. Rough night.
those are the ones you guys always remember. It's like the bad beats in poker. You guys had to have some good times, Noodles. You must have stood on your head a few times, and Schneider put up 4 or 5 points. I'm sure that happened at some point.
I'm sure.
We got a lot of stories about that year, I'll tell you that right now. Actually, with the Leafs, too, MJ, right? With the Leafs, we had some good ones there, too. There were two not-so-great years, I got to tell you. Not-so-great years, but my friendships with these guys, you know, that makes up for it all.
There you go. Well, I mean, speaking of, you know, friendships and camaraderie, if and when we get to these hub cities and this playoff format, like how that's going to be a big part of it. We've discussed a lot about that and how comfortable the guys are going to be around each other, the freedom that might be either limited or potentially accessible. But how big of a pillar of the conversations revolve around, you know, just freedom and camaraderie and being teammates and having fun, even though you're going to be in a very unique situation in one of these hub cities?
Yeah, you know, that's something obviously a lot of guys are discussing. You know, listen, we wouldn't be having any of these conversations if, you know, our experts, the doctors, infectious disease specialists, you know, haven't told us that, you know, these scenarios are possible. You know, we can create very safe environments, you know, and how locked down you are depends on what your risk tolerance is. You know, I guess I would just say, you know, if you're with your family in your house and nobody's allowed to come in or out, you're pretty confident that you're safe in there, knowing that, you know, no one has the virus. You know, you can create that on a much bigger scale and put everybody within a bubble, so to speak, not have people come in and out, you know, all the hygiene protocols put into place, things of that nature. Regular testing is a big part of it, as I'm sure you guys have heard over and over again. But those are all keys to success. And, you know, we still understand that we might go through this whole process. The beginning of phase two is simply, you know, buildings opening up. And, you know, I think as one of our doctors put it, it's really just, you know, guys remembering how to get to the rink and figure out where their stalls are and how to, you know, what to do with their laundry again, because guys have been off. There's a lot of new protocols and hygiene membership rules that are going to have to be put in place, new hires for clubs, their own infectious disease specialists, things of that nature. So this is just step one in the process, really, and we know there are a lot of hurdles to overcome in the future.
Schneider, when you talk to the guys, like, what has been their greatest question or concern about, you know, trying to get back to the rink, get back playing, and eventually get to playoff games?
You know, I think the biggest issue has been access to ice, you know, you know, depending on guys, we have guys that have full gyms in their garage or their basement. We have guys that have been, you know, in their apartments for, you know, weeks on end without access to any equipment doing body weight exercises. But, you know, the common issue early on, and as jurisdictions start to open up, guys are getting more and more access through facilities and ice, although they haven't been necessarily NHL facilities. It's that. And, you know, the closest thing we have to really compare it to would be, you know, a lockout scenario. But even in that scenario, guys are on the ice, they're skating and they're training, mm-hmm. even though it was uncertain, you know, when we're coming back, if we're coming back in different years. So that's, I think, been the single toughest thing is that guys have not been able to get on the ice on a regular basis.
With Matthew Schneider from the NHLPA. So yesterday, you know, it became official. Obviously, the Players Association, you guys voted on the 24-team format, gave the go-ahead. Gary Bettman and company came out and said, this is what's going on. This is what's going to happen with the draft lottery. This is what's going to happen with the draft, which will happen after the season comes to a conclusion. So what's next here in the pecking order? What else has to be determined and agreed upon? Where do we go from here after we've completed this most recent step?
Well, so, you know, I think looking back, I wish we had phase one, phase 2A, and phase 2B, but we didn't. and really, you know, it's kind of what I talked about a little bit here. It's just, you know, it's a, you know, if you got your car sitting in the driveway for 3 months, although the new cars, it really doesn't matter. But back, I'm aging myself now. My old Oldsmobile 78 Regency, if it was sitting in the driveway for 4 months in Cornwall where I played junior, you gotta turn it on and let it run a little while and, you know, just still let the thing warm up. You know, we're just walking here, hoping that we get the facilities open, guys come back, they start to feel comfortable in the smaller groups. You know, even just something like as simple as, you know, wiping down the weights after your guys come through and, you know, you're on the, you're squatting, then you go over to a bench and you're on there, you know, do we have to wipe it down every time? You're really getting used to all these new protocols and things. This is going to take a few weeks, no question about it. You know, we want to eventually be able to introduce more, you know, coaches, more, you know, bigger workouts. Right now we're limiting it to six guys at a time in the facility. This phase two is going to change over time to give us the confidence to move to phase three, which would be a full training camp essentially. So we want to have the ability to have guys in their own facilities, training camps, like we normally would, working out together, practicing all those things. And then that would lead to, you know, the creation of the bubble city, so to speak, and eventually playing games. So, you know, I mean, the things that we're going to have to negotiate and discuss over the next month, 2 months, however long it takes. I mean, it's a large list. There's no question about it. And we haven't even gotten to the draft and free agency and salary arbitration. I mean, those things are all thrown into the mix. And, you know, we all know well from all of our collective bargaining history, nothing's agreed to till everything's agreed to.
Schneid's, you know, going. You mentioned the lockouts and that type of scenario, using that as maybe a small reference, even though this is uncharted territory. You know, the information process is a lot different than when we were going through lockouts, and even in the 90s, the other lockout was almost faxes you were getting from other guys. Have you found that? Is everyone want to be on top of this? Every player, and what I mean, let's just give a number, 750 players. Is everyone in the know, or are there players that that we've all played with that are like, you know what, just let me know when and where I got to be, and I'll be there type of scenario? Or is everyone on top of this daily as far as informational access?
Yeah, you know, like you know, what's the old saying? The more things change, the more they stay the same. You know, every team has their guys, their player reps, and, you know, three or four guys that are constantly, they want to be involved, want to be in the know. You got a group of guys in the middle that, you know, they'll hop on some calls and you know, just kind of stay updated, things of that nature. You know, we have the divisional player reps now. There's five of us former players on staff, but three of them are have 10 teams. Actually, one has 11. Joe Riki, Steve Webb, and Rob Zaminer, they work with their group of teams, and they're on the phone continuously with the guys on their teams. We have regular board calls throughout this process. And so, you know, the communication is challenging, but, you know, the one thing Don Fear brought over from baseball, which has been great for us, you know, every guy is welcome and invited to every single meeting we have internally or with the league. And, you know, it requires a lot more work. There's no question about it, because we have so many different opinions. It'd be nice if, you know, the league deals with 31 owners and, you know, and we have 700 guys plus, as you pointed out. So it is challenging, but in the end, you know, everybody has a voice. Everybody has a say. How much of a say is up to the individuals.
With Matthew Schneider, we'll get you out of here on this, kind of a leapfrog off of what you were just talking about. We referenced what Devin Dubnyk had to say to The Athletic earlier this week, where he indicated, you know, you guys, the Players Association, they haven't heard all the details, they haven't discussed all the details, and it got us to thinking and us talking about why that wouldn't be the case. You know, why wouldn't you be voting on all the possible proposals, the two-hub city, the potential testing protocol, because you have to have an idea of where this is going. You know, maybe not a formal vote, but why not talk to all the players? You guys have nothing but time right now, and get a read on how they would feel about maybe no family allowed, you know, in the hub cities, or limited amounts of family. You get what I'm saying, Matthew? Like, throw a bunch of things at the wall and get a read on how the guys feel about it now, as opposed to, you know, a month from now, if there's somewhat of a deadline at that point.
Well, you know, when we have our board calls, you know, when I say our board call, that's, you know, that insinuates there's 31 guys on the call from every team. Our last board call, I think we had over 130 guys on it. And like I said, everybody is invited on all of our calls. When we have a vote now, we don't have a vote on a call on yay or nay. Our votes are open for 24, 48, sometimes 72 hours, so that the player reps go back and they gauge their team and they have the conversations with the team. And in some cases, if the player rep doesn't feel comfortable explaining the different issues to guys, then myself or Don or our general counsel, Don Zavallo, one of our lawyers and the DPRs, we hop on call and we'll go through it with their entire team or a group of guys in the team. So, you know, that's our process. Our board is is who makes the decisions. 31 players, 31 reps, each team has a vote. And you know, that process has served us well for the last 8 or 9 years. I don't anticipate that changing. When we have decisions like a CBA extension, which is what we're talking about now, things like that become a membership-wide vote. Then it's just every player has one vote, 720 guys, whatever the number is that we're currently sitting at right now, every player will have a vote. So, you know, I think, you know, are there areas being missed? Maybe, possibly. But I think, you know, you have to have a pretty concerted effort to bury your head in the sand and not make an effort to know what's going on to be a player in our association today. And, you know, I think that's, you know, that's how it's operated. That's what happened with the vote over the format. And I don't see that changing anytime in the near future. It's served us well.
Always great catching up with you, and we always appreciate you finding time for us. We'll do this again down the road, and we look forward to seeing everyone back on the ice, hopefully sooner rather than later. Thank you, Matthew.
My pleasure. Anytime, guys.
There he is, Matthew Schneider, former teammate of both of you guys. I was not aware of that.
He was more than just a teammate to me, because our tickets, as you guys know, the home team, you get two tickets to your home games. And so my rookie year, my two tickets beside Matthew's two tickets. So whoever Matthew had a game would sit right beside my parents or my buddies, whoever I had at the game. So when he sent his buddies, my buddies would get friends with his buddies. And I don't know how many times Matthew and I would go out after a game on a Saturday night because our friends had linked up in the stands at the Gardens. So yeah, Matt and I, yeah, we spent lots of time together.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, you forget about that connection. The buddies start rolling into town or whatever. I guess you're from here, so they're from here anyway. But all of a sudden they connect, and it's like, all right, I guess we're going out. And this is the two-pack tonight. This is what we're doing.
I think I brought up a bad memory for him getting benched in L.A. that night by Milbury. I've told you that story where Milbury came in before the game. He's like, the minute Gretzky gets a puck, just go to him. So you got four guys chasing Gretzky around. He's the greatest passer in the game. He's backhand saucering it, send guys in on breakaways. It was such an embarrassing game.
Why don't you get on Twitter and send him that note and see what he has to say for himself?
I don't know. You get blocked.
I wonder if any coach has ever blocked a former player in the history of Twitter.
I don't know. It was a gong show that night. But the funny thing about it, I got yanked. And Schneid's got benched, and he was sitting beside me, and we just kind of sat there the whole night talking. So random.
But in L.A., wondering where you're going out after the game.
Yeah, I wonder what that conversation entailed.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, when you get pulled and you've had a rough night, you're not going out. You feel bad. You go right back to the room. You know,
or
I did anyways.
You go out so hard you forget all about the night. Yeah,
I should have done that way, but I didn't. I was a nerd back then.
Yeah, that's amateur hour. You should have floored it just to make sure you never remember that detail again.
Never blame it on
Milbury. It's not your fault. What a brutal game plan. As if no one's ever thought of that. Hey, why don't we just go check 99? Let's see if that could happen. Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Just chase him around the net. I love that. He's behind the net.
Don't let him stop in behind.
Behind the net. Go see what happens. Yeah. Like,
two guys, both the same way. Just go chase him and see what happens. All right, so thanks again to Matthew Schneider. Lots to recap here. There's some NBA news out there as well, courtesy of the usual suspects, Shams and Woj, and what the NBA might be looking at as they gear up to play. Potentially on the same timeline as the NHL, more than likely it will be. You know, and I think they're all kind of connected, right? They've all been talking with government officials, health officials down in the States primarily.
Each other.
For sure. Okay, you're going here, we're going here, we're going to start if we're jockeying for TV and all that kind of stuff. I think they're probably all in this together. So we'll get you details on that as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. Time now for a traffic update.
Northbound on the 404 before Stouffville Road, still a crash and fuel spill cleanup blocking the right lane. It is heavy from Elgin Mills still. Northbound Don Valley Parkway is heavy from Don Mills to York Mills because of volume. Other than that, delays that you're going to encounter on the major routes are from earlier problems. Bathurst is closed from Front Street to York Boulevard for long-term bridge and TTC track work until the end of the year. Don Mills at the DVP, construction has reduced things down to one lane both ways until August the 9th. And also at the Thornhill area, Young and Steeles, there is a crash to deal with. Driving to Mr. Lube, sit back and relax with their stay-in-your-car services. From oil changes to tires, no appointment needed. Mr. Lube, proudly Canadian since 1976. From the Newstalk 1010 Traffic Center, I'm Lex Tan.
You're not going anywhere.
Thanks for staying with us.
And neither are these guys.
Bang!
Oi! First up with Michael Landsberg and Carlo Colaiacovo. Weekday mornings from 6 till 10 on TSN 1050.